Hey, After Buzzers, we are here with the Young Pope After Show. We're here with Season 1, Episode 8 and 9, and we are going to Africa tonight, so stay with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is an algae request for you guys out there.
Hey.
Do you remember this?
Flume.
From this episode. So crazy.
Twice in this episode.
Yeah. Well, in episode 9. Hey, guys, if you're out there, don't spoil episode 10 for us yet. Because you know episode 10 is like airing. It hasn't even aired on the West Coast yet.
Wow.
I know. I can't wait.
Can't wait.
I know.
This show has exceeded all of my expectations. We were just talking about that. They're finishing really strong.
I know. We have just been talking about this. Like, Al came in, and I was like, oh, my God. I mean, he was texting me last night. You were a little ahead of me.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't spoil anything, but we were just both going crazy in here about it. So we're here with the Young Pope After Show on AfterBuzz. And tonight we're going to cover episode 8 and 9. Episode 10 will air later tonight on the West Coast. I think it may have already aired or is currently airing on the East Coast. So we're really excited to talk about these last two episodes. I'm your host, Jesse Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic. And here's my other host, Al. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Al Gregg, a.k.a. Young Papal, a.k.a. the Reverend Al G. And find me on Instagram at Al G. _ Jamaica House Film, as well as follow me on Twitter at SoundClashCine.
Yes. So there is so much that happens in these last two episodes, and what Al and I were talking about is I don't know how they're going to wrap this up in a single episode. Is it going to be 2 hours long?
I don't know. It's definitely going to be, I think it's going to definitely be at least like 90 minutes.
I hope.
I don't know how they can pack it all in.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they always talk about, you know, every time an HBO show ends, they usually say like a 2 hour season finale. Mm. I don't know what it is, but...
And the penultimate episode, episode 9, was pretty packed, too.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get right to it, because we don't have a ton of time, and we have a lot to cover.
Okay.
So, in episode 8, we see the Pope at his summer house, and he's, you know, bored out of his mind. Like, he wants to go home. He wants to go back to the Vatican, and he has Sophia come out. And he says, you know, what do we need to do? And she says, you know, you need to go on a trip and you need a speech of love. And she says, you know, the place you should go to is Africa. Mm-hmm. And she suggests that he should go to the first village of goodness where Sister Antonia is. And Sister Antonia is like nonstop. She's calling like 14 times a day and she wants the Pope to come and the Pope's not super thrilled.
Mm.
But
because she has a bad case of halitosis.
Yes, she does. And it's so funny because just like we always say, I love this show, not only just because of how good and how much stuff is going on here, but also like these people, they're so high up in the Catholic religion, but they are just like everybody else. So
oh
it reminds
goodness.
Me of when you're flipping through a magazine and you see stars and you're like, stars are the same way as we are.
Yeah.
It's like them. Like, he's playing tennis against the wall because he's bored. And then they get there and Sister Antonio has a selfie stick. And she's like, what do you mean I can't take a picture with the Pope? Like, he comes
that.
All the way out here. I want a picture
that.
With the Pope.
And she's like, I want a selfie.
Yeah. And he gives her mints, which was hilarious. But the trip to Africa was insane. What
Bonkers.
Did you think about everything that went
I
down?
I mean, you know, it was surreal. You know, they're rolling, you know, kind of like through like the desert, and you see these bodies, and you see this poverty, and then you find out, you know, there's a drought, and they roll up into the village, and there's like, you know, there's like all these armed guards. It's run by a warlord, whoever is the warlord of that particular region or country, and there are these African nuns like strapped down with guns.
I know.
That was bananas. That was bananas.
Yeah, so I thought the same thing, the nuns with the guns. I was
nuns
just like,
with guns.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Can't beat that.
But they get there, and just like you said, you know, they don't have any water. The water is not safe to drink, and when they first pull up, I don't know what the significance of the Pope all decked out in red, but he is like dressed to the nines. He looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they pull up and Sister Antonia starts walking into the village, everybody comes around her and is kissing her, and she's like, enough, enough, enough.
But fake humble.
Yes, but you know what? I almost feel like he knew right off the bat that that was fake, because did you see him just, like, walk around her and start smoking a cigarette? Like,
definitely.
He could read.
Yeah, he knows what's going on. Oh, yeah. And here's the symbolism. We're emailing about symbolism.
Yes.
Red always signifies blood or death. You know,
there you
or
go.
Hell.
So that's what it means.
We know bodies are coming. Bodies are dropping.
Yes.
We got a few more on the kill list.
So, yeah, we do. So, they get there and, you know, Sister Antonio shows them around. And the Pope ends up going to confession. And he confesses about his girlfriend in California and how she was like, you can touch my legs. And he thinks about that sometime, I guess. And then he also starts talking about Esther, and you know, he misses Esther. And I knew he would miss Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they were going to try to take Esther away.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know if Esther left on her own or
right.
if they forced her out.
I think, I mean, it's yet to be revealed, but I don't think she would leave on her own. I mean, like, in spite of them being too young, young families don't enjoy the Vatican. You know, they had such a wonderful relationship,
yeah.
and the Pope was growing as a person, like, through them and their coupleship and their working with the child. It was kind of sad. It's kind of
yeah.
tragic.
No, and there's other things in this episode that make me think, remember when Voiello and the guy that smokes a lot... we're trying to kind of get him to resign, and he said, I know how we're going to do it, and he shows Spencer to the window, and he sees Esther. Well, we see, like, Esther's gone. The kangaroo has been murdered.
Kangaroo got whacked.
Yeah.
By the protesters, I think.
Oh, do you think that's how?
That's what I think. I mean, you saw, like, there's a group in there. You know the women who have the tops off and written on in blood? I think it's blood. It says bastard. So I think that's the kangaroo's blood.
Oh, so, okay. Personally, for that part, I saw that, and I was like, what the hell is this? Is this a dream? And then he was smoking. I was like, what's in that cigarette? Because, like, you are hallucinating.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's what I love about this. It's always so surreal. Like, I agree. I have to think about it. It's like, is this a vision, too, or is this, you know, is this a fever dream? What's going on? But I think that was real. I think the protesters had broken into the Vatican, and not only was that part of their protest, imagine, like, a code pink,
yeah.
you know what I mean? All these young chicks, you know, bosoms out, but blood written on their chest, and,
yeah.
I mean, spelling out words, and, you know, yeah, and I think they took out the kangaroo. I think it was the kangaroo's blood.
My gosh, I never even thought about that.
Because he was being so harsh on abortion.
Yes.
So.
Wow, that's a good point. Mm. So, aside from him confessing about that, he thinks he must have done something wrong with Esther. He misses her, and they left without saying bye, and he can't sleep because he keeps wondering why they left the picture of him and the baby behind.
Mm.
He thought that meant so much, and he's like, and I really should be thinking about my true friend, Andrew, but I'm already over feeling guilty about that. And then he says, do you speak English? And the guy is like, no. And he rolls in this piece of paper. And I love the Pope's reaction on this, too, because he's like, why did you let me rattle on like an idiot for like 10 minutes? Like, why didn't you just tell me right away?
But you want to know the funniest thing, though, is even the fact that the African priest, that he didn't speak English. To me, just the fact that the Pope got all that out, to me, that's like just as good as confessing. You're confessing to God.
Yeah.
So.
No, I totally agree. And it was cool for us to get to see what he was thinking about, too, because I think, you know, we had some idea of some of the thoughts that were going through his head. But when he passes him the note, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you see that coming at all?
Not at all. I had no idea. Sister Antonia, I had no idea she was going to be that corrupt.
Yeah.
And yeah, the note said basically that she's hoarding water,
right?
And she's doling it out for favors, for all kind of favors, like social favors, sexual favors.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's what he said. He said, "I can't even repeat some of the acts that she's, I guess, like asking for water."
And the Pope gets the confirmation because I guess when he's. And he's doing the communion or leading some type of service. He has this like goblet, and that thing's like shiny, chromey silver. And through like the reflection, he sees her hold hand with her lesbian lover. It's subtle too. It's just like a little pinky hold.
Yeah, he must have the best vision ever, or like magnifying vision, because like I don't know how he saw that, but it was so good. And then they go to dinner, and he just kind of goes off.
Airs her out. Airs her the F out.
Oh my
gosh. Put her on blast in front of everybody. Didn't even like take her like to the side.
But like they all had to know anyways,
right? I guess, yeah, the biggest like quote, unhidden secret.
Right, because everybody knows. So he asks her specifically, are you a good person? And she's like, I think I am. Mm-hmm. He's like, wait, not in such a hurry. Like, what?
That's hilarious.
He's so awesome. Like, yeah. He just calls her out. Like, he knows.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, what kind of values do you possess? Like, what kind of values do you practice? And he talks about being selfless, putting yourself last, working only in the interest of others. And then he asks her to answer sincerely. And he says, I won't put up with even the tiniest of lies.
Mm.
But he asks, are you a good person? But I don't know if she answers him again. And then
I think she's just shut down at that point.
Yeah.
Like, what can anything she say, like, can and will be used against her?
Yeah. And then the guy throws, like, the vase on the ground
or
something.
Okay, see, that's what I wasn't clear. Did he throw it? Did he drop it? I wasn't clear either.
I think he threw it.
You think he was, okay, he was just so upset.
I just figured, like, he stood up and he was just like,
okay.
And he just, like.
Enough with the farce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe he just dropped it.
Whatever it is, it's to definitely add, like, an exclamation point to that moment, so.
This is such a hard thing, because I don't want to harp on this too long, because we have so much to cover today, but I just, this kind of stuff, like, goes on in the world. And it was so hard to see and think about, because, like, living here, you know, we take so much for granted. But, like, I think sometimes about people not having water, but, like, then people taking the water that is there and holding it and, like...
Yeah, like, just using that, you know, to just hold over people and manipulate them. It's disgusting. Like, who would think, like... church or people of God would do that. And I don't want to, you know, lump in the entire church. This was this one corrupt person in the church.
Right. So before he leaves Africa, they have this, like, big outdoor assembly, or they just bring everybody together. Of course, the Pope doesn't show up. He doesn't want to be seen.
Not in body.
Yeah.
He shows up in voice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Not in the physical, but he shows up in voice. And this isn't the first time he hasn't shown up. Like, they were on the plane and the press wanted him to come out. He wouldn't come out. Then when he got off the plane, he walked right away from everybody.
Mm.
So he comes out and he gives this speech, which I thought was actually really good. I mean, I bet everybody did. But he talks about just, like, how he saw dead bodies and hunger and blood and thirst and offspring of war. And he said, what I always write to kids is that think of the things you like, and that's what God is. And never do kids come back and tell me they like war.
Right. Right, and that was the second time he used that analogy of, like, think with kids what everything they love, and that's God.
Right.
Yeah, it was beautiful, and that was the him offering the carrot finally, you know, showing his loving, compassionate side. So yeah, we got to give credit to Sophia too. She's a good advisor.
She really is, actually, because that was all of her idea.
Totally.
Yeah.
100.
So I thought that speech was great. He, for some odd reason, on the plane ride home, he gets up and walks back while all the press is sleeping.
Mm.
And one of the guys is still awake, and he says, wow, that was beautiful.
And then he says, trip this. And then he's like, oh, yeah, those African dancers were wonderful. No, your speech, Holy Father.
Yes.
I love, that's when the show kind of, like, showed its tender side.
Yes.
And we're starting to see more of Lenny's tender side, too. Like, just because he doesn't want to see these people, you know, while they're awake. But, you know, he wants to, like, love them and acknowledge them and make a note of them while they're asleep. It's such a tender moment.
It is. Yeah. And he's really, we're seeing him come, like, full circle. Like, he's just becoming something that, like, he surprised me so much in these two episodes.
Yeah.
But I think he always had it in him. I just think that circumstances were the way that they were. And so he had to act a certain way. So, aside from that, Spencer is really sick.
Mm.
So we see him first in episode 8 with an IV in his arm, and he's talking to Pope Pius, and he says, are you going to resign? And he tells him, no, I'm not going to resign, because it's just going to make me feel worse. You will never be Pope. I just think it's so harsh. Like, the guy's dying.
Yeah, he stuck the dagger in.
Or maybe they were just being upfront with each other.
Yeah.
But he's like, you'll never be Pope. What does he say? He says, I'm going to be Pope until the day I die, because I want to see how this turns out. Which actually worries me, now that I think about it, because then people are going to come for you, because you're so young. Like, you can't be the Pope forever.
I mean, yeah, people are going to come for him, but, like, barring, like, I don't know. I just think God's on his side. I'll just say it. God's on his side.
Yes.
And I think he's going to last, you know, till his death, I mean, unless he goes out tragically and be a, and he will be declared a saint because he's committed, he's performed at least three miracles for canonization. But what am I talking about? Okay, you're talking about how yes, he wants to see, you know, kind of like how his papacy ends.
Yes.
And I loved how Spencer, in another conversation when he's kind of counseling him, he's like, because the young pope is like, tell me what to do if there's this alternative way where I need to go away from God, if there's this other thing. And he's like, well, why would I rob you, you know, of your journey?
Yes. That's such a good moment, because he does say that. He said, there's another path that will allow you to find the people and the things that you're looking for. Mm. And the Pope at that point is begging him. He's like, I beg you, show me. But you're right. That's exactly what he says. Mm. And he gives him the advice to go to Venice and just bury two coffins.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you think that was referring to his parents or his best friend? Okay.
I think it's just go bury your parents and get over that.
Okay. Move on, have some closure.
Yeah. I mean, how did you
that's the way I took it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I thought it was.
But then, you know, my mind starts going to conspiracy theories. Okay, well, maybe because he felt guilty about Andrew, and then the other lady's dying, and the kangaroo's dying.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it's probably his parents. His parents.
So, in episode 9, we see Gutierrez. He's back. I'm so glad to see him, because I thought, like, well, all hell is breaking loose for him, because he is not doing well.
His coping skill is to drink and lay around in order to take out, and his motel's a mess. It was so sad, but, you know, the funny thing is, there's a lot of, like, I envision a lot of, like, local priests who are like that. Because every church isn't flourishing. Right. You know what I mean? So there are these kind of, like, probably, like, some mom-and-pop storefront churches, you know? And then you hear about all the time, like, popes with drinking problems where they like to drink, so...
Yeah.
It was eye-opening, and you know what? It just struck me as real and authentic. That was the scary part. It didn't seem to me as, like, it is shocking and weird to see a man of the cloth like that, but it also struck me as real.
Yeah. And that, you know, that is probably something that's hidden from, you know, the public eye, but I do believe that to be true, too. One thing that you said is, you know, they looked around the apartment and it was a mess. Mm-hmm. I loved that moment when they were on FaceTime. Mm-hmm. And again, like, another moment, like, what, the Pope FaceTimes people? It's just weird. And you saw his little face and he's like, show me where you live.
Yeah.
And he's showing Gutierrez. And I was literally shocked when he told Gutierrez, when you want, come home.
Wow. And that his compassionate side again, his compassionate side.
But were you expecting that?
Of course I wasn't expecting that. I but again, this is like what we're seeing, like, this other side to the Pope.
Yeah.
And then just and talking about, okay, we're seeing his other side, and not to backtrack too much on the whole God thing, but okay, they say God has two natures too. Like, and his God's judgmental side was shown in the Old Testament, and that's what Lenny kept quoting, justifying abortion. You know, all these passages. You know, if the fetus dies in the womb, basically, and you know how this retribution needs to be taken. And Spencer was basically telling him, they didn't come out outright and say the new covenant, but now that you're living not under Moses' law but under Jesus' law, it's more like the essence of the law. It's more about the love. That's what all these sins add up to, because you can't keep all these little things up. And that's what he was trying to tell him about abortion. But yeah, so anyway, I think it was we're getting to see Lenny's other side, compassionate side, his new covenant side.
Right. Well, I think you bring up a really good point, because a few things that I wanted to touch on in that conversation with Spencer is that he said the verses are more complicated than they seem, so you can't just read it word for word. And that's something that I didn't think about myself. Like, I take everything just like word for word in the Bible, and like, and that's sort of why I don't agree with it. So it was interesting. Mm. And one other thing that he said was, be tough on your beliefs but soft on practice.
Damn, that's like the wisest advice you can give somebody.
Yes. I loved that quote. I thought that was so important. And I don't know if that's what made him turn around specifically, but like, I think there's a number of things, like between the death of Andrew, now Spencer's sick.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer's he's the only person that like really talks to Pope, the Pope, like real talk.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you how it is. You know, I'm not Lenny,
and
forget calling him Your Holiness,
and he doesn't hold back. So yeah, we see him have this moment with Gutierrez, which, like, it was very sad. You know, he was so upset to see Gutierrez in that situation.
And, like, and the flip side of it, too, is, like, Gutierrez was still trying. Like, he was trying his little plans, you know, to see what he could uncover. He was doing his best, but that was just how he had to cope with it.
Right. And so that's what he says. He says, you know, I haven't accomplished anything yet, so I'm going to stay and do this. And then Pope Pius says, come home, I'll be waiting for you. Mm-hmm. But Spencer, I mean, not Spencer, Gutierrez is in a whole different mess of his own, because I don't know how to feel about him. I love Gutierrez. Like, I think he's just, like, so sweet, and it was so sad when he had to leave the Vatican. He was so scared. But then we see him walk into the liquor store where he meets Freddy. And I don't know how all of this manages to turn out this way, but he has this proposal for Freddy to basically let Kurtwell, who is the child molester, come on to him because there's video cameras in the store and they'll be able to grab pictures off
now. Question: so you think at the very end that was confirmation that that the kid gave over the videotape, obviously, to Gutierrez?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the videotape, like, who owns the videotape. Like, I don't know if the store owns it or if Gutierrez set up his own stuff in there. I just feel like, I don't know if Gutierrez knows enough to do that. I mean, he doesn't even know how to cross the street.
I definitely think, you know, it's the store's security camera and the kid was able, I guess, to make him a copy.
Well, speaking of that first conversation between those two, like, what was the weird dynamic between Gutierrez and Freddy?
Because
I almost felt like they were like,
like a sexual thing?
Yeah, like, I thought they were coming on to each other.
There was so much subtext in this. That's what I love about this, because I picked up on it too.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's the dynamic that I focused on was the fact that, okay, Gutierrez, why are you going to this person who you have, who's in the middle of this case and you need help from? Why are you exposing him, you know, all your sins and your alcoholism? And you can be blackmailable too. And maybe he's not going to look to you as a guy who can get this done.
Right.
But then I thought about it, and maybe this is a way of saying, look, okay, I'm being open and vulnerable, showing you myself. Please show me yourself. Please help me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's just like they couldn't convict this guy any other way. They had to catch him in the act, because, like, now there's, like, this poor kid who's, like, involved in all of this.
Everybody else was bought off. Everybody else took the money, except for the older black man who was like, I'm not going to testify, but I'm not taking the money either.
Yes, you're right. And I thought he brought up a good point, too, because he's like, I still have my dignity.
Still have my integrity. Yeah. That was hardcore.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, basically, with Freddy, it works. I didn't think Freddie was going to go through with it.
Neither did I. I mean, he told him no, you know?
Yeah. But he goes, and so in the meantime, Kurtwell, who is the child molester, we're finally introduced to him this episode, and he has a lot of weird things going on, too. Like, one, he's wrong. He needs to be put in jail, like, and be
dead
done.
Dead wrong.
But he does have, like, a backstory that we don't get the full...
Yeah, but it humanizes him. That's the thing, you
right,
know?
Right, and then you're like, oh, that doesn't make it right, you know what I mean?
It doesn't make it right,
like,
but let's...
But,
go
yeah.
ahead.
No.
Well,
go
let's
for
unpack,
it.
Okay? Because it was. I think it's probably intentionally kind of nebulous, but he's reflecting on about how his family was poor,
right?
And him and his sister sick from school, and the landlord comes over and basically like, we're going up on the rent, so you guys are getting kicked out on the street,
right?
But then there's this whole like metaphor, like he metaphorically caressed us and we felt it, and I'm like, well, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was like, what does this mean? Because so, he was like, he's caressing my hair and her hair, and I'm just like, so...
I took that as, even though they didn't straight out say, I took that as like, at some point or in some way, he was molested too.
That's what I was thinking as well.
Yeah.
Which does not make it right.
It doesn't make it right, but it just gives you context.
But it makes you think, like...
I mean, and you gotta have compassion for him when he got molested.
No,
not for what
for
he
sure.
does, but...
For
I,
sure.
Yeah.
But, like, I just wish, like, people in that situation, if, like, we could find out and get them help, but it's such an embarrassing thing and, like, hard to talk about, especially when you're, like, a kid.
Yeah.
Well, and then he talks about his dad had like was off like sleeping with somebody else.
Exactly, like so he had a very like dysfunctional, probably traumatic childhood. So.
Right. Again, does not make it right.
Does not make it right.
So disturbing.
But it made the character complete.
Yes, for sure. Because they do that well with these characters. I feel like
that's the only way you can like kind of. I don't want to say you're ever rooting for everyone, but that's the only way I can kind of keep my eye on the television when he's on screen. Because otherwise, he would be so disgusting.
Right. So he. Outside the story, his backstory of his life growing up, but he has a plan, I guess, that's going to keep him safe. He's blackmailing Pope Pius with these letters that he found in his desk when he took over for him. And there's so much that goes on here. Kurt Wells talking to Gutierrez and says, oh, Lenny's always been envious of me. I've known him for a long time. But Gutierrez was not having that. Did you notice? He's like, hey, please be reasonable here. Uh-huh. Like, he was not going to sit and let him talk shit.
Yeah, Gutierrez has a nice little spine, man. Yeah. I love him to death. I mean, in spite of his foibles, you know, he sticks to his guns. Yeah. He's a good man.
He is
as
a good,
the other guy, as the sun said, you are a good man.
Yes. Yeah. So, They have an interaction, and he says, you know, I have this stuff on the Pope. And he even calls the Pope and threatens the Pope. But the Pope, like, knows what he has. And so he's like, you know, if he leaks the letters, that's fine. The world's always ready for love.
And I think to this day, tell me what you think, Jess, I think the Pope knew what he was doing by leaving the letters there 20 years ago or whatever.
No, I think he does, too. I mean, the Pope, he doesn't miss anything.
Everything.
Why would he leave all these letters back?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
real quick for the audience, spoiler alert. So, there are all these love letters that he's written to, like, this girlfriend.
Yes.
But at the end, and you're like, you're thinking, oh, he's being lustful and all this and all that, which to me would have been a big deal because, well, okay, I guess it did continue to while he was in the priesthood. But the point is, the very last letter, he says, but I am not sending any of these. I'm just keeping them here because I'm married to God.
Yes.
So it was nothing blackmailable. And then, sorry to skip ahead, but
no,
then
you're
the
good.
Next thing you know, it's like his letters are being published in the New Yorker.
Yes.
And so, like, the Pope is getting all these wins, man. He's winning PR.
Oh, yeah.
He's like this great author now.
So I loved that part because I didn't see it coming at all, and I was somewhat worried about it, but then I was like, you know, he'll figure it out. So when the journalist was like, hey, did you read these letters? Because at the end he actually says that he's married to God, so he'll never send these letters.
Yeah, and I like never act on this stuff. Yeah.
And it was just such a sweet moment when you see the girlfriend read it.
Oh my God, because you're like, okay, well, was it real? Who is that, really a plan? And it was her, because she starts juggling.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
It was such a sweet moment.
Oh my God. I had tears, and she's out there with her kids and like, yeah, you know.
I know.
Who do you think showed who to juggle? Do you think Lenny showed her?
No, I feel like she had to show Lenny. Why?
Okay.
Who do you think?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if Lenny is like, I feel like he's too like, I don't know. I don't know. But before we go on any further, because I kind of want to get into what we're going to predict for next episode, I want to talk to everybody really quick about our podcast, because we have a survey that we need everybody to complete. And we talked about it last episode, but help our podcast stay free to download with minimal ads. Responses will help align the appropriate advertisers to our audience. The survey is short and completely anonymous. It takes no more than 5 minutes to complete. There are two easy ways to complete the survey. You can go to www.podcastone.com/mysurvey or go to www.podcastone.com and click the survey banner. And I actually went on there after last episode just to see what it was like, and it's actually very easy. So please, you know, go online and help us out and fill that out for us. If you filled it out in the past, we thank you, but we still need you to do it again. So do all of us at AfterBuzz and Podcast One a huge favor by filling that out. And thanks so much for supporting our program and taking the time to complete the survey.
And along the lines of interaction, I mean, we love that. We need that from you guys. Please, you know, comment in the comment section, repost us, download the podcast on YouTube. You'll find me up there, you know, all up in the comments as well as Jess.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to mention somebody that is in the comments. So, yes, take the survey. And also, if you can, write to us, because we really do love this show. Ahmed Al-Nima, I hope I'm saying that right. I got to give you a shout out, because each week he comes on and he gives us, like, a really good analysis of certain points that he finds really important that I didn't think about during the after show. And then it makes me rethink about everything.
Yeah, he has some good calls.
So anyways.
Shout out to Ahmed.
Yes. We had so much go on in these last two episodes. Anything else that you wanted to mention? Because I know we didn't get through, like, the details of everything. And there's some things here and there that we left out that I do kind of, like, wonder about.
Okay. For me, okay, I think it was not episode 9, perhaps episode 8, when he went to El Salvador, Guatemala.
Yeah, Guatemala.
And that's where they have the woman, the young woman who died at 18. She
Juana
was canonized.
Juana Fernandez.
Yes. And she's, her reason for being canonized was because she apparently performed all these healings just by telling stories, making up these fairy tales to tell sick children. And the funny thing is, the Pope's like, yeah, that's nice, but I don't know if I buy it.
Only if it were only true.
Like, nobody else can do that but him.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is one point we missed. But we totally forgot just to kind of go over all of these like miracles that we're witnessing with mm-hmm. Pope Pius, because we saw mm-hmm. him basically help Esther get pregnant. Mm-hmm. But in this episode, we see a few things. One is when they're on the plane and he's praying mm-hmm. and they're yelling in at him about mm-hmm. if he's being blackmailed by Kurtwell mm-hmm. and the plane
shakes.
Just starts like...
That's like God saying, y'all chill out.
Yes, but I'm so glad you mentioned all this, because we are leaving out some key points. Then we find out when Spencer's dying, he says, tell it to me just one time. Let me die knowing I didn't believe in God in vain. And they flash back to when he was a kid. And we finally find out what happens that moment in that home with his friend's mom.
I always thought that he had healed Billy's mom, or he was somehow like, yes. you know, accomplice to it. And, yes. and like they laid it all out.
Yes, so he cures his mom by praying, but... they see him, like Sister Mary witnesses it, like mm. so does Andrew, like everybody's shocked, even he's shocked, he leaves right away and he's shocked that he just cured her. And then the last one, which I can't believe I forgot,
when he pray kills yes. Antonia.
Oh my God, it's so funny, because like as somebody that doesn't believe in this, and I apologize because this is really testing my own beliefs, but as somebody who doesn't believe, I was like, he poisoned her. He poisoned her water.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
That's like my initial thought, okay. you know?
That could be the case.
But
I just thought it was like more like act of God.
That's what it was.
We were
right?
talking about this whole process. We've been talking about how Lenny, though he's a flawed vessel, God uses him. He's anointed.
Right.
You know, and he works through him. And, the fact that he has such a close relationship to God, you know, God talks about in the Bible how certain people he just really liked. I'm just trying to think of a couple of names. Anyway, there are certain people who are like God's friend, just like a handful of them,
yeah.
you know, besides Moses and Jesus' son. But he has his relationship is with God is such that it's like, yo, God, I need you to listen to me right now.
Right.
We need to talk about this. Bam, bam, bam. And this woman.
Yes.
And next thing you know, it's like she's dying.
So one thing about that scene specifically, and actually all of the scenes, I was kind of watching some behind the scenes things with the actors that play on the show, and mm-hmm. what they were saying is the writer of the show films everything like a masterpiece, like every picture he really takes into consideration, like the artistic value of it. And I mean, we see this in every shot.
Every
of this.
Frame is a
yes,
painting.
It is. Yeah. Like I think about that every episode. I'm like, this is so beautiful. Every part.
Paolo
of it.
Sorrentino, he's my new favorite filmmaker.
So that's actually what Jude Law said. He said just knowing him and how he writes and the things that he did. Jude Law said, I knew I was going to take this part before I even opened the script to look at it.
And then not to mention he has like this juicy character, but yeah, just based on the cinematography alone, it's like I sit at home and it's like I'll do screen grabs, or I'll pull up my phone and take a picture, or I'll watch it online yes. and you know, just so many images.
But that moment when he's like, I need to pull over at the truck stop, and he pulls over and he gets all of the cars and the trucks around him and he's there in the light.
Uh-huh.
First off, I was thinking, like, this is so shady. What the hell is going on here?
I thought he was praying for, like, all the lounge lizards? Or...
I thought he was going to get killed. Then I thought he was praying for, like truck stop people to, like, I don't know. And then when he gets down like that and he prays and all of that happens with Sister Antonia, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, don't mess with God and don't mess with Pope Pius, because he has God's ear.
He just is going to kill people?
I mean, that's the thing, you know, where it's... on the line, he or she.
Yeah.
The great creator.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard for us to fathom that because one person wants someone dead, that God will kill them because that one person wants them dead. But again, going back to the Old Testament and kind of like the Old Covenant, it was, I think, like when the Hebrews had left Egypt, and after God had taken them out, and Moses had taken them out of Egypt, you know, and then stopped them from worshiping false gods, they built like this ram again, or Baal, the bull.
Yes.
They start worshiping, you know, this idol again, and Moses is like, I can't believe they did this. And God's like, I want you to strike them down, each and every one, and I want you to melt that false idol down, and I want you to make them eat the sand.
Wow.
So God has a vengeful side.
See... And if I have to believe in God, I wouldn't believe a God that is like that. But at the same time, it's like, when is it okay? Like, this woman is taking advantage of people to like the most disgusting degree.
She's like the worst because she's a false prophet. Like,
yes.
Probably like the thing God hates worst, doing false things in his name and actually working for Satan.
Right. So it like in that sense, is it okay for him
know.
To
I mean,
pray
to me,
and
I didn't shed
kill
a tear
her,
when she
basically.
Died. Yeah.
No, I didn't either. Yeah. I was like, oh, my
so,
God.
Like I said, God, you know, in some place, in some regards, God doesn't play. And it's like, again, it goes back to you believe. Are you more, and that's the big difference between Judaism and Christianity. Mm-hmm. Jews still, you know, they hold up the Old Testament versus Christianity, and like Jesus comes. No, it's evolved. It's a new way, and it's, you know, and it's not all about these Ten Commandments. What do they add up to? They add up to love and compassion right. and forgiveness. So, yeah, there are different sides of God, and I guess it depends on which side you embrace.
Okay. Well, we're almost done here, so we don't have much time, but let's do predictions.
Predictions, okay.
I have to do this. Now, that's like my prediction here.
I like the prediction from you.
Okay, so what do you think is going to happen on our season finale? I'm so sad.
Yeah. Oh, but okay.
Yes,
Spoiler alert. It's coming back next season.
Yes.
That's what the trades say, because we all thought, you know, this is going to be one season, a limited run. But, you know, apparently they picked it up. So, and the numbers have been good. They haven't been great, but they've been good. But I think they're saying, like, just like what we're saying about, like, how wonderful the show is.
It is so good. And I think it's kind of a hard topic to get, like, the numbers that it could get. It's like, this doesn't shine the greatest light on Catholicism and, like, the leadership in Catholicism, even though I actually think that the Pope now is awesome.
And it, to me, but it may not shed a good light on organized religion, but it
yes.
sheds a good light on God, right? We were
yeah.
talking about that, right?
No, and that's what I believe. And if you are Catholic out there or Christian or whatever, I think you should watch this, because this is really testing me. And the way that he is, and even the things that Spencer says, I start thinking, like, man, maybe I should read this, and maybe there's... You're looking at me like...
No,
crazy.
I'm listening to you.
I'm like, maybe I should read the Bible and, like, not take it so literal.
I mean, that was one of the... When I was little, I used to take... Because... Spoiler alert, I was born and raised in the church. You know, my grandmother was a full-on Catholic, and she had all the candles and everything, praying to all the saints. But, yeah, I was raised in the church, Protestant. And but, yeah, I remember as a young child, oh, my God, I'm going to hell, because I took everything literally.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I kind of, like, formed my own relationship with God that I got older that I started, again, trying, like, okay, what's the spirit of the law?
Right.
But back to predictions, though.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Bodies are dropping like flies. You know, we need a little count. Okay, the kangaroo got it.
Yeah.
Sister Antonia got it.
Yep.
Andrew died.
Yep.
And,
go ahead. Not Spencer. I thought...
Yeah, and Spencer's about to die. He dies. Exactly.
He dies?
I took it as he died, because there was another big storm. Like, that was a
moment.
Oh,
yes.
You know, like, God is like... In the midst of the storm, God is talking to them, you know. He recognizes...
No, I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind, because... He says, this is my time to go, after Pope Pius tells him the story about how he cured him.
Yeah, wasn't that amazing?
Oh, my God. So Spencer died, too.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm losing it. I literally just watched this episode.
Yeah, no, tears are coming to my eyes. So I can't. Not that I want more people to die, but it just seems like that's the pattern. You
well,
know?
Who's going
to
die next, then?
Man, I hope not Pius. Well, it can't be Pius, because he's going to be
next season.
Yeah.
Yes, which you said there is. Yeah, because I thought for sure he was going to die, because I was like, somebody's going to kill him.
Right.
But maybe it's the smoking guy, because, like, the smoking guy is...
he's on his last leg.
Yeah, exactly. So any other predictions of what to expect for next episode?
Jess, let me see. What to expect? Just good stuff. I just hope people give it a chance, because a lot of people, it's hard. I get, you know, it's kind of hard to latch on to.
Yeah.
And it's quirky, and it's irreverent, and it's intelligent. And, like, but you got to, like, I don't know, you got to jump in with both feet and give it a chance, and it's so rewarding.
Yes.
If you hang in there all the
exactly.
episodes.
Hang in there for sure.
Hang in there.
So much happens.
Yeah.
So, guys, we are... we have one last episode. It airs tonight, so check it out on HBO. And then join us next week, same time, same place, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week, we're going to talk about the finale of The Young Pope. You can find me on all social media. I'm Jesse Zahner. Again, you can find me at Athletic.
Jesse, hey everybody, I'm Al Gregg. You can find me on Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm. That's on IG. And follow me on Twitter at SoundClashCine.
And make sure you like and comment on the video, because we are going to respond, and we're super excited for next episode. So we'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV. After Buzz.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.